to find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on the TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We're live on this Friday, the 8th of September, 2006. On today's program, I have John Hanke with me. And John has done a thing here. And it was all neatly swept under the rug, wasn't it? Well, I'm talking about John F. Kennedy, Jr. We all know that he went down in a plane, didn't we? But we don't know the circumstances around it. You heard the news reports, he wasn't that experienced of a pilot, and, on and on and on and went. Well, you're going to change your mind after you hear today's interview with John Hanke. So we will get to Mr. Hanke here in just a couple of minutes. And I want to remind folks, while we have a minute here, to keep calling the AMC Theater. They call the AMC Corporation in Kansas City, Kansas, to get Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism back in the theaters. And that number is 816. Up. You're looking around. I can see you right now. Where's my pen? Where's my pen? Oh, the other guy just grabbed a pen and it's out of ink. Okay. Are you ready now? Call AMC Corporation at 816-221-4000. That number again, 816-221-4000. Let's get Freedom to Fascism back in the theaters, ladies and gentlemen, because this is one of the mechanisms, one of the major tools. You know, people say, we got to use all the tools we can get. Well, when somebody says tools to me, I think of a screwdriver or a hammer. No, I'm talking about a bulldozer. I'm talking about a big diesel cat. That's the kind of tool that I like. Man tools. At any rate, this is one of the best tools. I don't think Loose Change will ever be syndicated nationwide in theaters. It has done a great job of going around planet Earth. Tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of copies of this has gone global. The other side is admitting that Loose Change, too, has kind of made an impact. But we're dealing with it. Look at all the propaganda. Look at the Hollywood propaganda. Look at the ABC miniseries propaganda. If we have time, I want to play that clip that one of the actors in the movie, and again on Showbiz Tonight, seems to be the hot spot. Charlie Sheen was on there talking about 9/11. Well, Harvey Keitel was on it. Didn't go into specifics, and I wish he had, but he said, this thing is not factual. So we'll... If we have time, we'll get into that, but we'll have John Hanke on in just a couple of minutes. But again, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been in this refounding movement for any length of time, it all seems to be kind of day-to-day to us. Same old thing. Think back, and you maybe have to think hard. Maybe it's been a lot of years. But think back to the day that your porch light went on, somebody flipped that switch, and all of a sudden, you got awake. Now, what you've done with your awakening since that day, well, that's gauged from person to person. You're the best judge of that. But remember what it was like when your light switch got flipped. You were never the same person. And rightfully so. Because you woke up to all the lies and the deception and the outright caca they have been shoveling at us. Not by the shovelful, folks. It's been by the truckload. It's been dumped on us. So please, wake some other people up here in America. Wake a lot of them up. Call that AMC Corporate Theater headquarters in Kansas City, Kansas at 816-221-4000. Let's get America, Freedom to Fascism back in the theaters nationwide. Second biggest change in America, chain in America, folks. It'll make an impact. It has already. We'll be right back.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied towards your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Amazon did a review on John Hankey's The Assassination of JFK Jr. They say when Kennedy's plane disappeared off the coast of Martha's Vineyard, it was deja vu all over again. Those of us who had to endure the assassinations of two Kennedy men in the 1960s and then learn of the cover-ups and conspiracies will no doubt be heartened to learn that the third Kennedy man was also murdered. The facts swept under the rug and a cover story invented that pinned the blame solely on Kennedy himself. Don't you remember the news stories, folks? Well, you know, he wasn't quite rated and he wasn't that good of a pilot. Well, the official story is that John F. Kennedy had recklessly endangered his wife and his sister-in-law's lives by flying at night in hazardous conditions without proper instrument flying certification, and like an irresponsible lone nut pilot, crashed into the sea. But this story is a myth created by the Pentagon, which assumed total control of the investigation the next day. Oh, that's right. It wasn't the NTSB, was it? John Kennedy was by no means the rash, stupid jerk he was made out to be, but instead a cautious, by-the-book pilot who in each of his of the 300 hours he had logged as a pilot never once flew without an accompanying flight instructor, a flight instructor who would have been the fourth person on the airplane that night, but whose body was never recovered. Watch this DVD, folks, and learn the real story about the murder of this young man but prepare to go deeply into the rabbit hole. Why, for instance, did Kennedy, did the military wait for more than 15 hours after Kennedy's flight was scheduled to land to conduct a search? You know, these are the questions that are being raised here. And when the radar showed precisely where the plane went off of the scope, and the Coast Guard knew where to look but were waved off by the FAA and the Pentagon. Why was Kennedy's bag recovered but not his flight log, which would have been inside the bag? Why was the fuel gauge deliberately switched off? Well, that's only the beginning of the questions and the facts that put together a disturbing, if amazing, puzzle. You need to watch this DVD, folks. We have it here available at RBN. Now, one final point, by the way, about this. The DVD is actually Volume 2 in the Assassination Files. For the deep background, we recommend the same documentarian's JFK 2, The Bush Connection. And, of course, that's another mind-boggling muckraker delight. But today, we're here talking with John Hankey on his latest endeavor, the assassination of JFK Jr. Good afternoon, Mr. Hankey.
Hey, John. I'm delighted to be here. I'm really grateful and honored.
Well, I appreciate you doing what you're doing out there. You know, everybody rested. Everybody was at ease. Oh, you know, John Kennedy isn't a shame. You know, he's a pretty bright business guy. He had his magazine, George, and, you know, maybe one day he'd go into politics. But wasn't it just a shame that he was just a shoddy pilot and he and his wife died?
Well, it was a shame. And, you know, I didn't know very much about John Kennedy Jr. when on the day that he died. But, you know, he was a human being, and I was saddened to hear that his plane, had disappeared, which I had heard in the morning, and I had sort of put it out of my mind. And I was very, very busy that Saturday. I'm a teacher, and I was meeting with a bunch of other teachers to discuss how to do less shoveling of the manure you were referring to a little while ago, and do a better job at helping kids become citizens and capable of finding their way in the darkness that we get exposed to in our search for truth as, you know, just as ordinary citizens. But anyway, that evening, my wife and I went out to dinner, and at the restaurant they had a television, and I looked up at the screen, and I saw the boats going back and forth, and I immediately recognized they're still looking for him, and I knew that, you know, of course he was dead if they had been looking for him for 12 hours during the daylight and hadn't been able to find him. And then Dan Rather's face came on the screen. And I don't know how many of the people in your audience will be familiar, but Dan Rather, on the day that John Kennedy Sr. was killed, the 2,000 news reporters descended on Dallas, and the word got around very, very quickly that a man named Abraham Zapruder had been standing there with a movie camera and had filmed the whole thing. And all of the reporters, of course, wanted to get access, wanted to get a copy of this film, and the FBI told them that nobody could even see it, much less get a copy. And the reporters all looked at each other and said, killed him, right? I guess the FBI was involved in his murder. Otherwise, what are you hiding? And so, you know, there's a big squabbling to do, and they came to a conference. They would allow one newsman to look at the film.
Let me guess. It would be Dan I'd Rather.
Dan Rather, who was a small local CBS reporter at the time, and who, from that day, his ticket was punched and his ship was in, and he was on a rocket towards the top, which he reached very quickly and stayed at for 20 years.
And John, every time I see, you know, the Tom Brokaws and the Dan Rathers, I often wonder how they make the corporate ascendancy into the premier spot with all of these networks. Anchor jobs are considered to be the creme de la creme, but I was not aware that Dan Rather was the only guy to see Zapruder's film, and it was locked up for how many years after that?
25.
25 years.
And he saw it, and he came out, and actually there's a number of websites on the web. You can actually hear the sound recording of him announcing that the president's head clearly jerked forward, which is, of course, the opposite of what you see when you see the Zapruder film.
So they told him that this is the official story, we're going to let you see this, you will say what we want you to say, and then every good boy deserves favor.
Well, that's exactly the way that things transpired. Anyhow, I'm sitting in this restaurant, and we've just ordered my favorite food, and I look up at the screen and see that Rather has taken control, you know, come in on his day off, to take control of the news reporting, and is urging everybody to remain calm and not to jump to any ridiculous conclusions about all of this outrageous evidence that has been produced. I have to tell you, on the DVD on John Kennedy Jr., you get to see quite a bit of the press conference. The press have all been herded into the Pentagon, and they really went after these Pentagon guys. It's very heartening. You know, you see that the reporters who are out there are not a bunch of filthy, dirty, stinking liars. They submit the truth, and then the dirty, filthy, stinking liars who run the networks then filter the truth and eliminate all of that stuff. But they really went after the Pentagon. I mean, just for example, on the point that the Pentagon reported that the family didn't report the plane missing until 2 o'clock in the morning. And one of the reporters says, well, what kind of ridiculous stuff is that? That the plane was due at 9:30, and it doesn't show up, and they don't think to report it to anybody until 10 o'clock. How can you explain that? And then they not only cut the reporter off before they finish their question, they cut the whole thing. The screen goes to blank, and all you get is static. And when you come back, they've gone on to another question. But they continue to go after them. You mentioned that they delayed the search of the crash area for 15 and a half hours. And the reporters are standing there. I mean, these guys know how to do a job, and they do it. Many of them have been at this for years. They've got the radar report in their hand showing that Kennedy's plane crashed 14 miles off the coast of Martha's Vineyard, and they want to know why it is that the search is still scattered all over the Atlantic. And, you know, so they forced the Pentagon guy, the spokesman, to tell several very, very bold-faced lies about how, well, the radar report doesn't indicate anything, when, in fact, as you can see in the DVD, it's very, very clear that the plane is flying along and just doing perfectly well and then does a nosedive straight down. But Colonel Rourke of the Pentagon looks at this and says, oh, no, there's nothing unusual about the radar pattern. And in addition to which, the news people also produced, they had evidence of Kennedy's emergency locator beacon going off, which would have told the Air Force instantly
exactly
within yards.
Yes, where it was at. Let me back up. We kind of jumped in this thing midstream.
Because, we certainly did.
Yeah, because we got onto the Dan Rather track and the senior deal.
We did that. I looked up the screen and I saw Rather, and I couldn't eat. Because when they killed John Kennedy Sr., they in very short fashion killed all of the opposition to the Vietnam War, including Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King. And then they killed 50,000 soldiers and 2 million Southeast Asians and 50,000 dead, and God knows how many scarred physically and mentally from the experience. And so I felt in my gut, I mean, this was not an intellectual conclusion I came to, that this is the beginning of something really, really, really horrible. And gee, what a surprise. A few months later, we have 9/11 and the war in Iraq. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take it from you. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I just want to, for the benefit of the listening audience that has not seen this DVD yet, you produced it. I saw it. I watched it immediately after you sent it to me, but that was a couple of months ago. So I just want to backtrack here to glean all the knowledge that you have from the beginning. If you would, pick this up where John F. Kennedy is actually at the airport, and they're putting the stuff on the plane, and they're getting ready to take off. I mean, let's start from the beginning.
Okay. Well, in fact, let's backtrack a little bit before that, because Kennedy had lunch with his editor, his chief editor, and the editor looks at him on crutches and says, you're going to fly with a cast on your leg? Or at least, I guess the cast had been removed the day before. And Kennedy said, oh, don't worry, I'm going to be flying with a flight instructor. This is Richard Blow reporting this. He wrote an article in Vanity Fair, and he published a book, and he was very emphatic both times that Kennedy had told him that he was going to be flying with a flight instructor. However,
because he only had VFR at the time, not IFR rating, which is an instrument rating which would allow you to fly after dusk or at night.
Well, that's a very interesting point. He had passed the written exam. That's the evidence for that is in the NTSB report. He had passed the, I want to say, physical exam. What do you call that? The
physical exam.
I guess. No, not at all. The where you get in the plane and you fly around.
Oh, it's you're being checked out.
But he had taken that test. He had taken both the written and the practical, let's get in a plane and black out the windows and I turn the plane on its ear and you have to recover it on the instrument.
Okay, hold on. We've got to take the break. This is taking me back quite a few years because I was going for my own private pilot's license. But we're dredging up all kinds of memories. I'm straining hard to retrieve. But we'll pick this up exactly where we leave off right after this.
If you're like the millions of Americans living day to day, trying to make ends meet, then you wouldn't want to pass up this opportunity. Employment and job security are at an all-time low, while the cost of living, supporting your family or lifestyle, and credit card debt just keep going up. So what if I told you there was a way to earn the kind of money you need and deserve? Build financial freedom. Secure a future for you and your family. And do it all right from the comfort of your own home, with no money at risk. Now you can, by starting your own business and becoming a part of the LifeWave team. LifeWave has developed a line of groundbreaking products using drug-free and chemical-free patches, which work along the same principles as Qi that Asian cultures have used for thousands of years. LifeWave patches energize the body's own bioelectrical field to help create more energy and stamina, improve rest and concentration, and relieve muscle aches and pains without putting any type of stimulants or other substance into your body. This is something that everyone can use. All lifestyles, all ages. Just think of the possibilities. Now you can stop living in the past, get out of debt, and become part of the future, your future, by starting your own business today and becoming part of the LifeWave team. To learn how you can become part of the LifeWave team, simply go to www.lifewave.com/HSA. Don't sit back and let this opportunity pass you by. Take charge of your future. Act now.
Order the DVD of a lifetime. Into Evidence, Truth, Lies, and Unresolved Mysteries in the Murder of JFK. This landmark video is the most comprehensive presentation ever delivered on the assassination and features the leading experts in every field of scientific investigation. 32 hours of research presented on the most controversial murder of the 20th century. This compilation will make a great addition to your collection. To order this beautifully packaged 8-DVD set, visit our website, intoevidence.net/US.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
All right, we are back talking with John Hankey, and we're right in the middle of this. Now, we left off where he took out his check ride with a blackout for his instrument rating. This is required by the FAA for licensing. Anybody can fly a plane, ladies and gentlemen. You got to go through the tests and all that stuff, but you only are visually flight rule. That's the only thing they give you is VFR, which means you can only fly during the daytime. Okay, so now we're up to the point where he takes his checkout ride with the instructor. Now, take it from there, John.
The instructor's name is McColgan, and he gave him very high marks on having passed that. So the Kennedy was an excellent pilot. He knew, and his flight instructors all said that he was not only a good pilot, but that he was extremely meticulous. But one in particular made the comment that he was very, very competent with his autopilot. In any case, the only thing, Kennedy had taken the written and he had taken the practical, and the only thing that he needed was to log hours flying VFR, but he couldn't do that. I'm sorry, IFR, flying on instruments. He had to log hours flying on instruments, and he could only do that with a flight instructor sitting next to him. So that, I mean, in addition to which, he had a bad foot, which when you're on the ground, you need to use the pedals to steer the plane. When you're up in the air, you can use hand controls. But on the ground, you have to use pedals, and it's very difficult to do that if you have a broken ankle. And so that would be another reason, which Kennedy mentioned to several people, that was a reason why he preferred flying with a flight instructor.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, there's all of this evidence that Kennedy would have had a flight instructor with him. He had never flown in this particular plane without a flight instructor. He had told his editor that he was going to fly with a flight instructor, and the NTSB was unable to find anybody, any flight instructor, with whom Kennedy had an appointment that was not kept, which is to say that Kennedy was either lying to his editor about having an appointment to fly with an instructor, or there is a missing flight instructor. In any case, moving forward on this point, so they get in the plane and they take off, and according to the Coast Guard spokesman, Todd Burgun, and this is, I'm proud to say, in the DVD, I have the actual footage of the television interview with Todd Burgun that morning, in which he explains that according to the information that the Coast Guard has from the FAA, Kennedy, in fact, contacted the tower at Martha's Vineyard announcing that he was on final approach at 9:39, that he was 14 miles off the coast. If he's on final approach, that means he's going to be holding at 2,500 feet. That's the requirement. And there's a number of things associated with that. The most important of them, perhaps, is that if you contact the tower and say that you're on final approach and you don't then show up, the search is supposed to begin within 5 minutes looking for you,
mm-hmm.
according to the FAA regulations.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't begin within 5 minutes. They didn't begin within 5 hours. It wasn't until, in fact, 7 o'clock in the morning that Senator Kennedy woke up Bill Clinton, and Clinton called the Air Force, and the Air Force then started a search that was scattered all over the Atlantic. They never began and a search of the waters off of Martha's Vineyard, and, in fact, they forbade the Coast Guard and the Civil Air Patrol from doing that. The Civil Air Patrol was confined to the land areas, and the Coast Guard was required to search Long Island Sound and the other areas away from Martha's Vineyard. In any case, the Coast Guard, the Pentagon, takes over the press coverage at 10:30 and says that there was no contact with the tower. In fact, they end up saying that there was no contact by Kennedy with any of the air traffic control facilities. I talked to a number of John's flight instructors, and in fact, if you talk to any flight instructor, they would be shocked to find out that anybody who was a competent pilot at all had not contacted the air traffic facilities. But in fact, Kennedy's flight instructors were in disbelief that the Pentagon could make such an allegation, because Kennedy always followed the most small of the details of safety procedures. And this is not a small detail. This is a very, very, very major one.
Okay, so we have the Chappaquiddick scenario on steroids.
Yeah, I would say that that's an adequate
and
comparison.
So this was pre-9/11, correct?
Yes.
So we keep mentioning Pentagon. What happened to the National Transportation Safety Board? Why was the Pentagon, why did they take over this investigation and do such a stellar, timely job with it?
Well, I mean, there's a good question. Why would they want to keep the search craft away from the crash, what was known as the crash area? And this is something that we left out, but if you contact air traffic control facilities, they give you a code that you punch into a device on your plane called a transponder, which emits a radio signal that's picked up by the radar that tells the air traffic control people who you are, what your altitude is, what your location is, and if you descend below 100 feet any place but the tarmac of your intended airport, the point being that the FAA knew that Kennedy, that an alarm would have gone off before the plane hit the water, and yet they delayed a search of the crash area for 15 hours. The question is, why would they do that, given that they had, you know, they had the emergency locator beacon, they had the transponder, they had the report of Kennedy to the tower? Why would they delay the search of the crash area for 15 hours? And we can get to that question when we come back.
Yeah. All right. We will do exactly that. We're talking with John Hanke today. He's a history teacher in the L.A. school system, and he's got a knack for asking the right questions, but more importantly, rather than just asking the questions, documenting this and then putting it on a substance that people can review for themselves, called a DVD. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. Join Jeffrey Bennett and myself each day at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we'll give you the flip side of the day's financial and political news. Had Warren Buffett tuned in, he could have saved himself $1 billion. You see, Mr. Buffett bet against the dollar 2 years ago. Had he had chosen buying gold instead of foreign currency, he would have made $2 billion. Don't make the Buffett mistake. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898 and let us help you ensure your wealth against dollar depreciation. For daily updates on the condition of the dollar, visit our website at republictradinggroup.com. Or as I said, just give us a call at 1-800-691-7898 and speak with Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898. And thank you for your support of Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, we're up to the point here where the emergency locator beacon is going off. Pentagon gets involved. So many hours pass. Mr. Kennedy, I'm assuming this is Mr. Chappaquiddick, because there's only one Senator Kennedy in the government anymore. He calls Billy Clinton. Billy Clinton calls out the Air Force, and they do this huge Atlantic search. But in the meantime, the emergency locator beacon is pinpointing the exact place that this plane went down. Pick it up from there, if you would, John.
Well, and it's, I think it's stunning that the news people have all of this stuff in their hands, right? They have... ABC is posting graphics that show the locator beacon, and the reporters are standing there with this radar information, you know, just roasting this guy from the Pentagon about why it is that they have the plane scattered and why they're not focusing their search on the shores off of Martha's Vineyard. And so, I mean, there's the question is why, and I have to admit that I'm a couple of years grinding away at this stuff, trying to figure out why. I mean, there's this overwhelming evidence that lots and lots of people on the Internet had about the search being delayed, and nobody could really imagine a good reason for the delay. And I want to say that, you know, there are a number of people have reported that the plane was blown up. And I went through all of the evidence with the fine-tooth comb, and that's what I was anticipating finding. That's all that anybody had suggested. But, in fact, the NTSB report says that there's no evidence of a fire even. The wreckage was in a rather small pattern. I mean, given the parts that floated, in fact, stayed pretty much together and all washed up in about the same place. The luggage, if you're going to put a bomb, I mean, this is what I've read in all of the stuff that is alleged that a bomb had probably or perhaps or whatever been put on the plane. You put it in the back because all you have to do is separate the tail and then the plane's going to go straight down, which is in fact what it did. However, that's where the luggage is also, and none of the luggage, according to the witnesses, right? I mean, there's people all over the beach picking this stuff up, and they reported that the bags were, you know, in fine condition. They were intact, and that gets to be a very important issue with regard to the flight log, as you mentioned earlier, that the bag that Kennedy typically kept his flight log in was recovered, and it was completely intact. The point is that
the flight
I was
log
unable
was
to find any evidence of a bomb on the plane.
Right, but the flight log was missing.
The flight log was missing, despite the fact that the bag in which John Kennedy kept
right.
it was recovered.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's another piece of evidence that the flight log is missing. Okay, but why? And why would they delay the thing for 15 hours? And so, you know, I'm digging around, and I'm on page 350 of the NTSB report, I come upon this report that Kennedy's fuel valve is in the off position. And, I mean, that's just crazy. And, you know, so I don't know really what that means. And I call up all these flight instructors, and I'm discussing it with anybody who I can get to talk about it. And the only reason you would ever turn the fuel valve off is if your plane were on fire.
Right.
Because that way you cut off the fuel to the engine, and the fire will hopefully burn itself out before it burns up your plane and you and everything else. But the notion that you would have lost control of your plane and on your way down decide, well, this would be a good time to turn off the fuel valve is just, you know, it's crazy. Can you possibly account for it? And so I'm really stewing on this, and then I'm talking to one of these flight instructors, and he says, well, you know, that is really, really curious, and it's really, really interesting, but, you know, that's what the pilot on Egypt Air 990 did. And I said, what? And he explains to me, Egypt Air 990 went into almost exactly the same water on about 100 days later. It was an Egyptian airliner, obviously, Egypt Air 990, that was full of the cream of Egypt's military. And it took off, and people may remember it. The pilot walks in, one of the pilots walks in to the cabin, and he's heard on the black boxes to mutter something like, Allah, you know, help me, or...
And that's not what they say.
Well, I won't dispute that. Regardless, what the other black boxes show is that he then took the steering yoke and drove it forward, sending the plane straight down. And what the flight instructor related to me, and I then later went on to the NTSB website and found this out for myself, is that so then five or six pilots grab him and pull him away from the controls, and they're struggling to recover the plane. And while they're doing that, he turns around and shuts off the fuel control valve. So you now have, and the NTSB rules that the fact that the fuel control valve was shut off was part of this pilot's murder-suicide. And so we now have...
Which is what they said about the Egypt Air flight, that this was a kamikaze that destroyed the plane, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to get the official version out there.
Right. The official version is that if you have a pattern, as they had, of the plane going straight down, and if you have, as they had... the fuel control valve being turned off so that it killed the motor so the plane couldn't be recovered. But, and if you have the recordings from the voices in the cockpit of the struggle going on, they put all those together and determined that this particular pilot, who for no particular reason, his family loved him, he was happy, his career was going well, suddenly decided one day to kill himself. And while it did make a lot of people happy for that to be the finding. In any case, you have this finding by the NTSB that a fuel control valve in the off position is indicative of a suicide, and lo and behold, in John Kennedy Jr.'s plane, they find that. It's published. It's on page 350. They don't happen to mention it again or suggest that it means anything whatsoever. They don't question it. They don't draw any attention to it. They casually mention it and go on their way about other things.
John, what model plane was this?
I don't recall. I'm sorry.
Okay, but I was just sitting here thinking, as you were mentioning the Egypt Air flight, that there is occasion.
It was a Piper, but
okay.
Saratoga.
Okay, there is that single or twin engine?
It's a single.
Okay. There are occasion where that I can only think of that a pilot would intentionally put a plane into a steep dive, and usually you don't do it from 2,500 feet is when you have an engine fire. You might shut off the fuel valve. But I don't know in a single-engine plane that you have the airspace, air-to-ground space, to put this thing into a dive to try to put out a fire. That's the only reason that a pilot would intentionally do a nosedive. And here's the other problem on the other side of that. You have structural stresses that if, in fact, you're able to put a fire out, you've got to think about leveling that plane out and getting control of it. And that's when you start worrying about wings ripping off. But there was no indication that there was a fire on that plane, correct?
There's no indication, and in any case, you wouldn't go full speed straight down, right? I mean,
you wouldn't think, not with 2,500 feet.
Not if you were planning to survive. I mean, right, let me kill myself and everybody on the plane in order to put this fire out.
Yeah, I got the fire out, but unfortunately nobody survived, yeah.
Well, but I want you to bring up that point again. I'm afraid I got a little bit ahead of myself. The point, we're trying to discuss the question of why would they delay the search for 15 and a half hours. Why would they deliberately and with all of their authority order the Coast Guard to stay away and order the Civil Air Patrol to stay away? And so we discussed a little bit the fact that John Kennedy Jr. had never flown without a flight instructor. He told everybody around him that there was going to be a flight instructor on the plane. Just before he took off, his wife called her best friend, and she is the woman, her name is Carol Radziwill, and her husband was John Kennedy's closest friend. And they, in any case, they spoke minutes before the plane took off, and when she found out that the plane was missing, I think she found out around 11 p.m., she started making phone calls to the FAA, and she wrote a book about it, and she gives you the dots, and she doesn't connect them. She tells you that she contacted all these FAA people, and you can tell that the FAA people didn't. She says that they said they couldn't do anything for her. She doesn't say that they refused to take the report. She doesn't say that they refused to begin the search. She doesn't say that FAA regulations require them, when she reports the plane missing, to begin the search. She doesn't say any of those things. But she does say that she contacted them and that they would not help her. And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, she doesn't know what to do, and so she contacts the Coast Guard, and she tells the Coast Guard that there was a flight instructor on the plane. Now, I have tried to contact her, but the Kennedys don't, generally speaking, talk to people about the murders of their loved ones under any circumstances. And, you know, I don't understand it, but I don't fault it, and, you know, they've given enough and suffered enough that don't mean that as any sort of a criticism. But in any case, she reported that there was a flight instructor on the plane now. One of the first things that happened when the Pentagon took over the reporting of the news regarding this is that they began spreading the story that there was, in fact, a flight instructor on the plane. And in the DVD, I make the comparison to the mysterious description of Oswald that goes out over the police radio as the killer of the president. And Oswald is arrested on the basis of that description. However, nobody saw a shooter, and no one knows where this mysterious description of Oswald as the shooter came from and went out over the police radio and resulted in Oswald being arrested.
Well, John, I think you answered your own question when we're talking about the Kennedys don't talk about their loved ones' deaths. I think Jackie Onassis, she was Jackie Kennedy, obviously, when her husband was killed, but you didn't see her doing any public speaking appearances or writing books on her husband's murder. And the deal is that where you're allowed to live, just shut up.
I suppose that might be the explanation. And if it is, I have no fault with it.
From my paranoid standpoint, I trust none of these people. That's the basis of my assumption going into anything that has to do with any government or any governmental agency, is I do not trust the official story right out of the chute.
Well, now, but I want you to ask the question that we asked with the Oswald story, which was, where did it come from? If Kennedy told the person that he last spoke with that he was going to have a flight instructor on the plane, if his wife told the last person that she spoke with that they were going to have a flight instructor on the plane, where did the story come from that there was no flight instructor on the plane?
Mm-hmm.
And it, like the description of Oswald, fell from the sky and was picked up and then distributed by the most disreputable, dishonest, and murderous people on the face of the earth, that is to say, the Pentagon. It's interesting, I think, as well, you mentioned 9/11, that there, which is a conspiracy between the FAA and the Pentagon to allow these attacks to happen. And in the case of John Kennedy Jr., you have a conspiracy between the FAA and the Pentagon to prevent the area from being searched. And so I think that we're now in a position to ask, to answer the question, certainly to propose an answer to the question of why was the search delayed? Why were they so anxious to keep the Coast Guard and the Civil Air Patrol out of the waters of the crash area? And I would suggest the only answer that, you know, in 7 years of researching it, the only slightly possible answer that I can come up with for that question is that they were recovering the body of the flight instructor. They were removing the battery from the cockpit voice recorder in order to destroy the noises, the sounds, the voices from the cockpit during the crash. They were recovering the flight log, which would have contained the name and recorded the presence of the flight instructor on the plane. They were doing everything they could to make it so that it would be impossible for anybody to ever solve this. And you have to credit them somewhat. They did it to a very large extent. Now they left this glaring problem of the fact that they just overtly delayed the rescue, and they ignored the family's reports of the plane being missing for 5 hours. Right, Senator Kennedy couldn't get the FAA to do their job until 7 o'clock in the morning, and he got on the case. He made his first phone call, at least in one of the books that I read the day John died, says that he got involved at 11 o'clock in the evening, and it wasn't until 7 a.m. that he was able to get the FAA and the Air Force to start doing their job of conducting the search.
And I would again question Senator Edward Kennedy because of his Chappaquiddick episode.
Oh, man.
And we have somebody that's compromised on that issue. So, you know, I'll take that with a grain of salt as far as Ed Kennedy goes.
Well, okay, I don't have any problem with that.
I do, but at any rate.
No, I mean, I don't have any. We can set him aside. We can leave him out of the story.
Sure.
That's not a problem. The thing is that also in the DVD, I have the television interview with a colonel in the Civil Air Patrol. His name is Richard Stanley, who has been ordered to stay off of the water and to only search the land areas of Martha's Vineyard. And he reports that he saw what he took to be, he saw helicopters searching the waters off of Martha's Vineyard on the approach to Martha's Vineyard. He saw them out there early in the morning, he says. But the Coast Guard had been forbidden to be out there. And the Civil Air Patrol had been forbidden to be out there. And they weren't out there. And the question then is, who did he see? Whose helicopters did he see searching the waters of Martha's Vineyard? And I think that we can fairly safely guess that they were black and had skull and crossbones on them, and that they were recovering the body of the flight instructor, as I said, and the battery and so on.
Well, let's go to let me just skip ahead, and we can drop back at any point that you deem necessary to fill the story in further. But why would Kennedy be murdered? What danger was he?
Well, that was the next question on my list that I wanted to talk about. We're going to end up breaking for commercial in a minute, but let's jump right in that and get as far as we can get. That was one of the first questions that just bonked me in the head, because I thought that he was just some stupid rich kid having a good time in his airplane and killed himself.
That's what I thought.
And so, but I mean, nevertheless, you have this glaring anomaly of the Coast Guard, I'm sorry, of the Pentagon, one, taking over, and two, delaying the search of the crash area for 15 hours. And then you have this, that they claimed that the Coast Guard was mistaken, that Kennedy did not contact the tower, but the NTSB report, and let me just cruise over that quickly, that Todd Burgum, the Coast Guard spokesman, and this is all on the DVD, you get to hear him and everybody else, that says that 9:39, the plane's holding at 2,500 feet, contacting the tower, saying that they're on final approach 14 miles off the coast, and the NTSB report has this detailed radar analysis that shows that at exactly 9:39, Kennedy had completed his descent, was now holding at 2,500 feet. There would be no reason for him to be doing that other than to contact the tower. Of course he was contacting the tower. You can decipher that from the radar report. The point being that Burgum's report is completely corroborated by the NTSB report that the Pentagon is clearly lying. And as you said, the question then is why. So I had all these glaring things, and so I started looking into who John Kennedy was and what kind of a person he was. And in any case, who killed him? Who would want to kill him? Why would anybody care?
All right, let's save that because we are coming up on that important break. So, folks, we'll pick this up as to who would want to whack John Kennedy Jr. and for what reason. He's doing a successful magazine, George Magazine. He's really no threat to anybody, so why would anybody want to see this guy go bye-bye? We'll take your calls at 800-313-9443. We'll be right back with my guest today, John Hanke. The DVD, ladies and gentlemen, is The Assassination of JFK Jr., and it's available from RBN. We'll talk to you about special packaging on that right after this.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
If joint pain, stiffness, or discomfort stops you from enjoying the things you like to do, now there's help. Introducing Joint Nutrients, the all-new, fast-acting, all-natural, great-tasting liquid formula that, when taken as directed, can help relieve the pain associated with osteoarthritis and with no harmful side effects. Joint Nutrients help restore and replenish joint fluid that is lost with aging, certain injuries, or constant pounding of the joints. And unlike other products that simply address the pain, Joint Nutrients goes to work to start repairing and correcting natural joint function while providing the relief you need. So if you are one of the millions of Americans who suffer from arthritis, then you need Joint Nutrients. Call 1-866-240-5670. 1-866-240-5670. Reduce arthritis pain, increase flexibility, and enhance joint health with Joint Nutrients. Call 1-866-240-5670.
They railed against the crown, another ragtag band, declaring
All right, folks, we are back. We're at the stage in this interview to ask the question, who would want to kill John F. Kennedy Jr.? John Hankey, any intelligent guesses there?
Do I have to answer this question?
I'm sorry, we had your pot pulled on. I didn't hear what you'd said.
How many minutes do I have to answer this question?
4 minutes.
Okay, in 4 minutes. One is that he was the only Kennedy who ever commented on the murder of his father. And actually, he didn't really comment on it. What he did is he published Oliver Stone in his George magazine. They not only published Oliver Stone, the article was about political assassination, and it was mainly on Napoleon's political assassination. The French have exhumed the body and discovered that Napoleon was, in fact, poisoned by the British. But in the article, Stone says, he mentions the murder of John Kennedy Sr. as one of the typical classic pieces of conspiracy to murder by the powers that be. Another thing that he published in George magazine, and I think just outrageous, and Richard Blow in his book, John's editor, Richard Blow, describes trying to talk John out of publishing this article. No, he shouldn't publish this. It was written by the mother of the young man who was in prison in Israel for the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, who was the peace candidate. And she says that there's no way that her son could have penetrated the security around Rabin without the cooperation of the defense agencies. And she then identifies his Mossad handler, the Mossad being Israel's intelligence arm. And so Kennedy published this article saying that the president of Israel had been murdered by the Mossad, by the Israeli CIA, essentially, with the collusion of the forces that were supposed to be providing protection. The Secret Service is what we would have called it in this country, which is almost identical to the assassination of his father, isn't it? Right, the CIA and the Secret Service, and this very, very tight collusion. So I think that was another reason that they would have killed him for publishing that article. But once I got really, really into this, and I'm sitting there, why would anybody want to kill him? He's such a sweet guy. And there have been suggestions that Hillary Clinton was involved because John was planning to run for the Senate, and I have not been. I think I have every single piece of videotape in which he was asked the question about will you run. And his very consistent answer was that going into politics was like going to war, and you had to be completely and utterly ready to do it, and he wasn't ready.
Well, why? No, wait a minute. I'm not understanding. I'm having a hard time. Do you have a 3-year-old with a pair of vice grips on your big toe right now? Because you seem a little bit distracted. Why would Hillary Clinton? What's the Hillary Clinton deal here?
Oh, I'm surprised you haven't heard it. Lots and lots of people. It's very, very common accusation that Hillary Clinton was planning to run for Senate and that John was going to run and take her place. But all of the evidence suggests that he was not going to run. He was very happy doing what he was doing at George Magazine. So here's another thing. I think that they knew that he would have broken the 9/11 story.
Ah, okay.
Right? Knew that he would have broken the 9/11 story. But the one that struck me first, and I'm sitting there saying, who would have wanted to kill him, is that I woke up one morning and my mind was screaming at me, the father killed the father, the son killed the son. And George Bush Sr. got his ticket punched. His ticket to the White House was punched when he was participating in the murder of John Kennedy Sr. That's in the first DVD, and I think that how can you explain the support of the powers that be for this drug-addled guy, George Bush Jr., over John McCain, when McCain is such a powerful...
Okay, hold on. We just covered about 15 different points, and I'm still trying to get my mind wrapped around the Hillary thing. I will clarify this for my own peace of mind, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a busy week here at the network. I think it's me. But just to clarify the point, we'll come back with my guest today. Very important piece he did, Mr. John Hankey. A second hour of the National Intel Report coming up. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.